God's put it in my heart tonight to speak to you from the church, about the church. There are many subjects, many scriptures that we could have chosen, but the important thing is to obey God. And so I feel impressed of God tonight to remind us of the Lord's love for His church. I want to speak to you about the church. 1 Corinthians 10:32. The Bible says that we're to give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor the church of God. And so in reality, there are only two classes. Every person is either a Jew or a Gentile, or a member of the church of God, in which there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Our Lord is building a church, and when He is finished with it, it will be absolutely perfect. He's going to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. Our Lord takes the debris of a fallen race and puts His grace in men's hearts. And we call this glorious body the church. Sometimes it's referred to as a building. Sometimes it is referred to as an army. It is the bride of Christ. I read to you, husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Part of the church is in this world doing the will of God, while the rest of the church is in heaven doing the will of God. The third chapter of this book says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. What we're doing tonight is what the rest of the church is doing in heaven. They're worshiping and they're serving God. And that's what we're doing. We're a part of the church. When I get to heaven, there won't be some strange difference. I'll keep on doing what I started doing on earth, worshiping and praising God. One day, all the ransomed church of God shall come together. Our Lord, through the church, operates. He loves the church. Now every local church, that is every New Testament church, makes up the bride of Christ. And of course you know, it is possible to have your name on a local church roll and in reality not be a member of the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. What a glorious privilege it is to be a part of the church. I have no problem with that word, church. I'm not ashamed of the church. I belong to the church. I belong specifically to a local church. I'm not ashamed of the church. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He is coming back for the church. He works through the church. And so, what a glorious truth it is to be a part of this glorious body we call the church. You'll consider the mystery of the church mysterious in the fact that it was divinely conceived. Now the church was known in the mind of God in eternity past, and long in eternity past, on the treks of an untrodden eternity, in the bosom of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the church was born. And it was determined by God that He would create a world, and that after men sinned, God would send His Son to this world. After 2,000 years, Jesus speeded His way to Bethlehem. And then after 33 and a half years, died on the cross for our sin to purchase the church. He loved the church. He purchased the church with His own blood. Now everything, of course, that was created by the great Creator. In much the same way that you and I were conceived, the church was conceived. Now at the moment of my conception, everything that I needed to operate as a human being was given me. When I was born in this world, there were no added parts. There were no unnecessary parts. everything I received at the moment of conception, I was born in this world with. And so it is with the church. Everything that the church needs to operate has been given to it by God. And don't you worry about the church going out of business. And don't you feel alarmed when we see a world that's hostile to the church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not an apostate religion, but the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. And everything that that church needs to survive and operate in this world has been given to it by God. The church began in heaven. It'll end up in heaven. It will end up just where it started. And it started in heaven. Humanism, secularism, governments will not put the church out of business. I don't have to remind you tonight that there's a horde marching out of the dark pits of hell opposed to the church, out to destroy the church. But the church began in heaven, and that is exactly where to wind up. Romans 8 reminds us, for whom he did foreknow, them did he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, those he predestinated, he called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Now the apostle uses the word glorified in the past tense. We're not yet glorified. I don't have to labor that point. But as far as God's concerned, we're already glorified. As certain as God foreknew us before he laid the mud seals of the world. As certain as he is predestined and planned to make us just like his darling son. As sure as he called us, as certain as he justified us, he will glorify us. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Divinely conceived. When the stars fall from their orbits, when the world is burned up, and time is no more, the grand old church shall be safe at home with God. Mysterious in the fact that the church was divinely constituted. God always had a church. As I said, the beginning, he turned it past. But there came a day when God put breath into it. There's a lot of debate as to when the church began on earth. I do know this. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Divinely constituted, in that is populated by saints. I was born into the church. Not a local church, but in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, I am identified with a local church. I was not educated in the church of God. I'm talking about the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. I wasn't educated. I wasn't legislated, homogenized, pasteurized, or nothing else. I was born in the church by the divine work of the Holy Ghost. He placed me in the body of Christ. He drew me, and I followed on, trying to confess that voice divine. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Divinely constituted, populated by saints. People that are saved, people that are part of the church, love to congregate. We have an affinity. We have an attachment to the household of faith. Now, when I was growing up, the church where I was saved was a member. Because the crowds grew, because many had been saved and the crowds grew, They decided to have two services, not different kinds. Nobody knew anything about all that stuff then. And so they tried it for a while, but it didn't seem to work. But anyhow, they announced two services. One at 8 o'clock, one at 11 o'clock. You know which one I went to? Both of them. It's been that way ever since God put His grace in my heart. I've had an attachment to the household of faith. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the church. Brother Steve, it was the church that prayed me to the kingdom of God. It's been the church that's held my hands after God through all these years and made it possible for me to give myself full time to the preaching of the Word of God. It's been the church that has wept with me. It has been the church that has rejoiced with me. It will be the church that I shall spend eternity while the ages roll. Praise it, that name that's above every name. Thank God for the privilege to be a part of the church. His church. Bought with His own blood. Church has been perfected by the scriptures. We're a one book people. We're guided by one book. We set our standards for one book. Our criteria is based on one book. It is the eternal Word of God. And the Word shall stand. Peter says that we were born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is the Word of God that reproves us, that encourages us, that rebukes us as well. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. And the church of the living God sets all of its standards based upon the Word of God. Thank God for His precious Word. I am grateful that in these dark days we have a book that we can depend on. Man, these days when the politicians talk about more and more of less and less and say nothing and not much of that, I'm grateful that we have a book that we can rest upon and know that whatever God said in this book is true and will come to pass. No matter how we feel, if God said it, it's true. But somebody says, my heart is too black to be cleansed. But the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Somebody says, I'll lose my salvation and be lost after all. But it is written, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Someone says, if I sin after I'm saved, I cannot be forgiven. But it is written, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the perpetuation of our sins. And somebody says, but death will terrify me after all. But it is written, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Somebody says, my soul will sleep in the grave. But it is written, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody has said, Jesus will not return. But it is written, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the sound. Thank God, it is written. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of the church. I'm not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. 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 Part of the church. Washed in His blood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes. 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 perpetuated by the Spirit. The church is not being built by men, but the Holy Ghost adds to this organism. Now, I know that there are days when conviction has seemed to be greater in the land. And we live in a day, Brother Lockie, I'm sure you'll agree, when conviction don't seem to be as great as it has been. And yet God keeps on saving sinners. Sometimes He brings them in through the flood tides. But He calls every one of them one by one, washes them in His blood, and makes them a part of His church. The church is perpetuated by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost knows what we need. And sometimes we need to be reproved. Sometimes we need to be rebuked. And sometimes we need to be encouraged. As we've just been in the message, both rebuked and encouraged. But the Holy Ghost is the overseer. He knows what we need. And He directs the service. And that's why a preacher can't just preach anything. He has to find God's mind. Get in the way God's going. Jonathan Edwards said, find out the way the Redeemer's going and go with Him. And I know this. He is going with the church. Our Lord loves the church. He'll honor the church. And He'll see it safely through. The ministry of the church. To evangelize the sinner. Now I know that God must save that sinner. And it's our responsibility to pray. To preach. And I also know that not everybody will believe. But for those that will, there's life eternal. Sometimes we accuse God of giving us a barren service. But the Lord said, if two or three of you are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. And therefore, it can't ever be barren. Now, just because God didn't do what we told Him to do or thought He should have done means nothing. If the word's preached, Christ is exalted, and the Lord is there by His promise, how dare we say it was barren? We never know what God is doing in an individual heart. I read many years ago about the old Puritan John Flavel. Preached one day, and a little 9-year-old boy got under deep conviction. But he wasn't saved that day. But 71 years later, all the way across the North Atlantic, up into New England, as an 80-year-old man, he was out plowing his mule, and the Holy Ghost reminded him of the words of that old Puritan preacher. And he stopped his mule, got down by his plow, and got saved. Now, if somebody had been in that service 71 years before, they might have said it was barren. Nothing happened. Wasn't too barren. Lasted 71 years. We don't ever know what God is doing. Services are different, Brother Stephen. And the atmosphere's different. But it is never barren when we come in the name of the Lord. Nobody can get here before Him. He's already here. And He said that when we come together in His name, I'm in the midst. So edify the saint and do a list for service, the ministry of the church. But I want to speak to you lastly about the majesty of the church. It does have majesty. It is a special body. It is the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said, we're flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. You can't get any closer than that. We're a part of His body. It is a special body. And it can't be destroyed. Christ is the head. Have you ever heard of anybody drowning till the head went under? And the church cannot be destroyed unless the head is destroyed. The head is Christ. Colossians says, reminds us of the great Creator, His creation. And then He says, who's the image of the invisible God? Who's the head of the body? The church. Christ is the head. Not the man over in Rome. Christ is the head of the church. When one pope dies, another one just popes up. But the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, ever liveth. He won't ever get old and senile. He won't ever get His orders crossed up. But He was yesterday. He is today. And He shall be forever. A special body. It has majesty as a secure body. And as a changed body, we shall be like Him. It has majesty as a bride. Never has an earthly bride been any more beautifully decked out than the bride of Christ, dressed in His righteousness alone, white and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. The church is called His bride. He loves the church. He died for the church. He's coming for the church. Many years ago, it was a fact, it was 1971. That was many years ago. Coming from the Holy Land with Brother Estes Parker, we changed planes in Zurich, Switzerland. And when we got on board, the devil got on with us. And out in the middle of the Atlantic, I mean right slap in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean, a young man sitting behind me, evidently on drugs and maybe demon-possessed as well. Of course, in those days, they didn't have much security, no agent or on the plane. And the young man slapped a stewardess backwards, threw his passport over onto the side, ran down the aisle, and grabbed the neck of the pilot and started choking him. And in less than 5 or 6 seconds, we descended about 5,000 feet, and then it leveled out. And found out later that some of the men in the first class section had been able finally to tackle the young man. And found out that he wanted to commit suicide and take the plane to the bottom and take us with him without even asking us. And finally, things got leveled out. One of the men in our group said to one of the flight attendants, if everything's under control, if everything's all right, would you please have the captain to make an announcement? She came back a few moments later, lips quivering, voice trembling. She said, I'm sorry, but the captain won't be making an announcement just yet. And the devil whispered in my ears, he's dead. That's why he's not talking. You're flying on automatic control. And after a while, you'll run out of fuel and you'll never see North Carolina again. And honestly, Brother Rule, I was getting ready to go to heaven. But finally, after about 30 minutes, I heard one of the sweetest voices I think I've ever heard. Said, this is Captain so-and-so. I'm sorry about the interruption, but we'll arrive at Kennedy Airport at such and such an hour. And later, when we landed, we found out that the captain had been injured. But we managed to land safely. But when the captain made that announcement, I thought to myself, it's the same in living for God. Every now and then the devil says, won't you just jump overboard? Nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's going to listen to you. And at that time I was in my early 20s and I was getting weary. And I'm grateful for the grace of God that's brought me to 66. But I thought that the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain, says the same thing. When we think it's all in vain, when we're ready to give up in despair, and when the devil may even convince us that the church is going under. And even in our day, even today, I've read over and over about individuals talking about the churches, that is the local churches, losing their tax exemption. And all the problems that the five men in black have made. Five judges who ruled against the true and the righteous judge. And I thought about all that faces the church. And only God knows what we shall face. I'm sure everything we preach here, everything we sing, is politically incorrect. But I want to tell you, the church is not going under. It's not going out of business. He loved the church. He gave himself for the church. He's coming for the church. And when the captain made that announcement, I thought about the captain of my salvation, who said, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The church is not going to end up in some outdated, antiquated museum. But the church is headed for wonderful and glorious days. If you want to find where the church is at, look in Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For it judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah!" And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The four and the 20 elders, the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Hallelujah." And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever." That's where the church is headed. Our God shall put everything in order that is out of order.